Welcome back to the Pinstripe Podcast. Scotty, welcome back as well.
Thank you. Thank
How
you.
are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm chilling. My home is very cold, and I've tried to put the heat on, and it's heating up the room that the heater's in very well, and not my room. And I know you're going to say, Lexi, your door is closed. I'm only doing that because I'm recording. But she's been open all day.
It has been very cold.
Yeah, I don't know how Halloween was for you, but Halloween up here was 72 and 78. Like Saturday was 72 and or Friday was 72, Saturday was 78.
That was about ours, yeah.
We should not be experiencing the same temperature in October.
Yeah, well now it's 30 here, so.
Yeah, the Sunday it dipped down to 60 and now I believe it's 35.
Yeah.
So weird that
we might be in the 40s. We're at 43 today.
Very weird that we're God, it's kind of like we're in the same ecosystem. We're not. So obviously, I don't want to say obviously because this was the lowest rated World Series. Maybe people don't even know. But the World Series concluded last night. The Texas Rangers take home their very first World Series championship. Scotty, did this World Series go pretty much because you were not with us last week to make our prediction? We had our guest star actually guess exactly how it went, which at first made me frustrated, but then I'm very surprised and proud, whatever. Did this go how you thought it would go?
Relatively, yeah. I was guessing once it started it was gonna be 5 or 6.
I thought the Diamondbacks would get 2.
I mean, it's just unreal how the Rangers played away. You 11-0 in the playoffs is insane.
Yeah.
You don't like your own fans? You just like the haters? Like, that's wild that happens. But, you know, you look at that, and then you have Corey Seager did his thing. And, I mean, we talked about it kind of throughout the whole playoffs. You looked at Eovaldi, you looked at Montgomery, and those were the guys that stepped up. Their bullpen stepped up. Their bullpen did really well. Which was the big issue going into it, was that their bullpen might be their downfall. But, you know, if you score 45 runs, you just have to give up 42.
If the other team can't catch the ball, it also makes it a lot easier.
Also, if the other team can't hit the ball for six innings.
With Corbin Carroll in scoring position every fucking time.
He's in the batter's box scoring position. 0-for-9. Like, it's funny. One of my friends here asked me, he goes, he showed the pitch that gave up the hit, and it was basically a middle fastball. Oh, no. It was to Mitch Garver. It was the one that was the single up the middle that ended up scoring. My friend texted me and goes, oh, you know, this really isn't the pitch that I'd throw in a 0-0 game when I had a no hitter going, wouldn't it? And I go, well, if my team was 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position and I have 6 no-hit innings, I'd want to screw the game.
Yeah, I'd be like, I have done literally everything for you. Zach Gallen, if anybody didn't watch, Zach Gallen had a no-hitter through 6. And he did everything he possibly could. And they just could not support him. It really felt like a Yankee game.
It felt like
a Gerrit Cole Yankee game.
I don't fully get it, though. Like, they were trying to give attention to it so early.
They did. They started. I feel like calling
it was like this. It was literally like the 6th inning or the 7th inning. They're like, oh, there's a no hitter. And he's like, okay, he's gone through the order.
First time you consider mentioning it is the butt at the end of the 6th inning.
End of the 6th, end of the 7th, something like that. Where you have two, like end of 7, you still have 6 more outs to go through.
Yeah.
You still have over half the lineup minimum to go through. And it was exactly that. That's what happened. It went, struck out, you know, he had the no-hitter going, and then he got to the magical 3rd time around the order, and they got to him.
I feel like there's a difference between saying, he's perfect through 2, or he has no hits through 2. That's a lot different than saying he has a no-hitter through 3 innings. No-hitters.
Yeah.
The order of the words does change their meaning.
Oh. It changes, it changes from a stat to like almost yeah, to like a theory prediction
Yeah.
moment kind of thing of two innings, three innings of just saying he hasn't given up a hit. Three, no hit
Because at that
innings,
point,
something like
it's an
that.
observation.
Yeah. And especially it's that early where like you kind of say it in a sense of like it
Yeah.
probably will get
It's like, oh,
broken
you
up.
just had a really good start here.
But yeah.
Yeah, but I was really hoping the Diamondbacks would get one more, but also at the same time, we talked about this a little bit the other day. I don't know if it was last week or the week that you were on. I don't distinctly remember, but to see a team that actually started off the year like really good and everyone was like, what the hell is going on with the Rangers? And then to actually see them come around and win it, I feel like the only other team that I would think to do that would be like big market teams like a Dodger, like an Astro. So
Yeah.
I just think like that's really cool to have seen that loop through. But also I understand not everybody watches baseball the way that we watch baseball, which is why it was so low rated.
Yeah, like honestly, in the same way of like the conference series were the best baseball we saw all postseason.
Yeah.
Both of them going to game seven. So many things led into that looking so good. And then it just kind of ended. And I felt like once we got to the World Series, there weren't competitive games again. We got right
Yeah.
back to the spot of even when they lose, even when the Rangers lost, it was a 6-1 loss. Like it was just
There was never any time that you're like, ooh, this could
boring.
flip. It did feel like there was a, I don't know, just felt like an odd playoff this year.
Yeah. So we.
And it, but it felt like Scotty was saying, it felt like that through the whole thing, right? Other than the only game that I remember being like, oh my goodness, was the one Braves game that Austin Riley hit the home run. Harris Jr. made that leap and catch and doubled up Harper. That was the only game that I like that sticks out in my brain that I was like, that was a really good game.
Yeah. That's
Other
it.
than that, it was like, it was steamrolling,
Yeah.
which isn't super fun. Did you see that Will Smith has won three straight World Series?
Well, technically, A. Will Smith won it in 2020.
The name has won many times.
4 straight years for.
One with the Astros or the Braves, the Astros, and the Rangers, and then Will Smith, Dodger, won in
Catcher.
2020.
In 2020. Yeah, there was a. That's interesting because honestly, Will Smith didn't. I don't know how many even starts or appearances he made.
I don't know. I saw something else earlier and I forgot to screenshot it. There was a guy on the Rangers, like a relief pitcher,
Yep.
who got added to the roster. He got picked up in like September, didn't pitch, got added to the playoff roster, didn't pitch, got added to the World Series roster, didn't
Yeah.
pitch, gets a ring.
Yeah, no, I did see that too. Yeah, it was. Nope, that's a different one. But yeah, I mean, here's the thing though, is that through this playoff, it's not been as entertaining, but there has been entertaining and cool things that have happened in for both teams. I mean, you look and of course you have, you know, the Rangers won their first World Series. That's dope. Ketel or no, sorry, yeah. Ketel Marte has a had I don't even know if he got a hit last night. I think he did.
I don't
I don't
remember.
actually know. I'll have to look. Well, when this happened 2 days ago, so during game five, no, during game four, sorry,
Before.
during game four, Ketel Marte had his 16th straight postseason hit this postseason and put him up to 20 straight postseason career games with a hit, which is insane. It's to start a career. So since he first made a playoff appearance, he has.
Probably the last time the Diamondbacks made a playoff
Yeah.
position.
Well, he did. I don't think it was the Diamondbacks. It's just him.
I don't know if he's played anywhere else.
He's I think he was 1 year at the beginning of his career, he was somewhere else for like the first like 2 or 3 years. Like but exactly in that of since he had whatever, 4 hits in his first career playoff series, 4 hits in 4 games, and then doesn't make the playoffs for 10 years, and then comes back and goes on a 16-game hitting streak
No big
to go.
deal.
Like that is a crazy stat, and Ketel Marte carried that team for a while. He did not get a hit last night, which ends it at 16, which puts him well in first. The longest hit streaks in the MLB is now 20 games for Ketel Marte, and then Manny Ramirez, Derek Jeter, and Hank Bauer all at 17.
What did Rosario do the year that the Braves won?
Good
His might
luck.
have been double, like his might have been something like a little bit more niche, but I thought that he did
Yeah.
something, or it might have just been because he was like a pickup that just was good. I don't know what it was, but I remember him being a big storyline, but that was also a few years ago.
But along with their record of the Diamondbacks, Ketel Marte, we saw Adolis Garcia get a RBI record. And that was at 22. That was 5 days ago with his walk-off home run.
And then he, what, hurt his oblique or
So I
quad?
think he had one more game and then he hurt his oblique, got taken off the roster. Evan Carter became the second youngest player to ever bat third in a World Series behind Mickey Mantle. Evan Carter also broke about 4 records, and the biggest one being he had a record for the most doubles in a postseason in MLB history with 9.
Wow.
And now I'm trying to find this because there's a number as well of OPS, postseason OPS for rookies, and both Carter and Young were both on it. And I think Carter probably would have a
One.
most obviously would have a higher OPS hitting 65 doubles. his postseason OPS is 917, which on the list that I had, let's find it again. His 917 would actually put him off the list. Because it was when the list was made October 23rd, he was at 997 and Josh Young is at 983. So
Darn.
it's still Evan Carter.
I mean, that's not like a.
Especially like the biggest thing is he's 21 years old. Just turned 21. An insane mark to do, an insane mark to have on the playoffs as a whole.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. Do you want to keep talking about the World Series, or there's some Yankee stuff to talk about here?
Well, I think we can speak a little bit about Mr. Corey Seager.
Let's talk about Mr. Corey Seager. Go ahead, Scotty.
The kid's a dog. No.
He's like,
No, he was
and that's my thesis. Thank you.
there was something. It was like people got upset about it because of the name they brought up. But they're like, Corey Seager in the playoffs should be treated like prime Barry Bonds. Honestly, he should have. Because just anytime that ball was in the zone, he was hitting it, and most of the time for an extra base hit.
He was. I've never seen anyone more. Like, I saw a picture earlier today. The Rangers were having a mound visit, and Corey Seager was just in the box, just ready.
He has
Different energy.
he has 19 career playoff home runs, and that ties Alex Bregman and George Springer for third most of all active players.
Was that playoff or World Series?
Playoff.
Okay. Because I was
I
going to
think.
say the amount that the Astros have been in versus
Whatever.
Dodgers.
It's, I
Like,
mean, playoffs.
playoff wise, they've both probably been in about the same amount.
But even that, I mean, I don't know how many playoffs did he have with the Dodgers.
The Dodgers haven't missed the playoffs in a while.
Yeah, but he also hasn't been on that team in 2 years. I don't know when he got called up. I
Last
don't
year
know
was
how long.
probably the first playoff series in a while.
Postseason, he's had 78 games played. Yeah. 78 games played. Yeah, 19 home runs. But even that, it's literally purely off of his 2020. He had 8 home runs, and then this year he had 6. It's only the 2 years
Yeah.
of his career, which is absurd. I can tell you probably top on that list right now is Mr. Altuve. It's probably Altuve and Schwarber are probably two top ones.
Yeah, probably. That would make sense.
Yeah. Here's another one of non Corey Seager, but Corey Seager just as a whole. I have to give props to both shortstops though, because Geraldo Perdomo played probably some of the best shortstops
Yeah.
I had seen in the entire playoffs, and with how consistent it was. It was like the same play every night of a diving backhand, get the guy out at first. Just
Yeah.
every night, I think I saw that play. So he did a great job defensively. But Marcus Semien, the little double playmate of Corey Seager, played in all regular season games and all playoff games, I'm pretty sure, which put him at 179 games in the Rangers season, which is tied for the second most games played in a single season behind Mr. Hideki Matsui at 180 games all the way back in 2003.
A Yankee could never. But also, not even just a Yankee wise. There's this whole thing across, you're seeing it also in basketball too, of load management.
Yeah.
And some people saying it means nothing, and some people saying that it's everything. And the Yankees are very subscribed to load management, which, and a lot of teams are. It's not just the Yankees that are subscribed to
Yeah.
load management. I'm like trying to think of other, like when the Braves won, I'm pretty sure the only player that played all 162 was Dansby Swanson. And he did that when he was a Brave, but once he became a Cub, he didn't do that. Matt
But
Olson
even
played in
that's
every game.
the Braves are not a team, or not a team afraid of load management. They will
Yeah,
go
they do not subscribe to load management.
no, they do not. Like, they will always top the list of playing every day. I think Matt Olson, I'm looking at it right now, games played.
Yeah, I think
There
he.
are 162. There are four people: Matt Olson, Juan Soto, and Eugenio Suarez and Marcus Semien. So, I mean, that's.
I think that it, I get that it's a long season, cool, but I also, you're a professional athlete. This is all you do. I can't just take a day off of my job for load management. I mean, like I can.
Yeah.
Like I'm not supposed to.
No, but
Right.
I'm gonna look now, and I want to see.
You have all the time in the off season that you get to rest. Rest your load management.
I'm gonna look at there who had the most on the Yankees this year.
I
I
think it
want you to guess
was Volpe.
first.
I
It
think
is one. I think
Volpe.
it's Volpe.
Because I remember like a deep like there was I remember after the All-Star break, he like didn't start a game and they're like, oh, Volpe's not starting, but then he went in and he's like, oh, he's yet to not make an appearance.
Games played is Volpe, followed closely by Gleyber Torres,
Yeah, that's what I would
159 to
say.
158. The next closest is 136 with DJ LeMahieu.
Then I'm trying to.
And then Oswaldo, and then IKF.
That's crazy because Oswaldo spent time down, correct?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Rizzo, Higgy, Bader.
I'm sorry, I still can't get over Anthony Rizzo being a Gold Glove finalist while playing concussed and not even playing a full season.
Yeah.
I
The
can't.
only players with over 100 on our team was IKF, Stanton, Judge, Oswaldo, DJ, Volpe,
Over
Torres. Over
100
100 games
starts,
played.
games played, not starts. Stanton was over 100.
Stanton was at 101. Just barely.
Was Judge at 104?
I think it's 115, 106. So yeah.
I understand that certain, like, right, there's just certain people that maybe aren't built for it, but also I just feel like, I don't know, you're a professional athlete, be built for it, you know? Come and
Yeah,
get it.
and this is something Marcus I'm gonna look at Mark what he's done.
He does it pretty regularly.
He does this year in, year out. Like, even when he was with Toronto, he was doing it.
Yeah.
So his career games since he became a full starter, 155, 159, 85 in 2017. Really? This is all the way back when he was with Oakland. 159, 162 in 2019, 53 in 2020, 162 in 2021, 161 in 2022, and 162 in 2023.
Yeah,
so without that 2020 year, that is four straight years with 161 or 162 plus games.
It's crazy.
This guy needs a little bit more. He needs
attention. What are you going to say? Respect? He has $300 million in his pocket.
I know, but like, that's not something that people bring up. That's something you got to, like.
True. I feel like when people think about the Rangers and their money, they think more about Seager.
They think a little bit more about Seager. I think they kind of forget about Semien, but I think people.
Because I think, I mean, we also talked about it. We also talked about it. We weren't sure if Semien was worth the $300
million. Even Seager's like that. Seager's close like that. 2018, 162. 2019, 127. All 60 games in 2020. 156 in 2021. 162 in 2022. And 162 in 2023.
Look at what happens. Look at what happens in this.
Oh, sorry. That's Matt Olson. Sorry. I was far metal. I thought I looked up Seager. I looked up Olson. But it's the same idea of like, what's maybe? I hate to say this. Is this Oakland?
What do you mean, is this Oakland?
That's two players who have...
Yeah, because they don't have anybody else who knows how to hold a baseball.
Okay, well, you know, it's training them to play long, and then they go to a real team, and...
Maybe. If you want to say it's Oakland, Scotty, maybe. We can say it's Oakland.
I'm just trying to give Oakland a little bit of joy here. not their owners, though.
Not their owners. They don't... It's none of the owners... The owners did none of it.
Yeah.
But yes, congratulations to the Texas Rangers. Yep.
Congratulations to...
Just think about next year when Jacob deGrom is also pitching for them.
Congratulations to Andrew
Heaney. Jordan Montgomery.
Earl Chapman.
Did Nathan you say Obama. Andrew Heaney? Did you lead off with Andrew fucking Heaney?
I said, well, that's alphabetical.
Nathan Eovaldi, also past Yankee.
There was four of them.
Who'd have thought that the team that Aroldis Chapman would be a two-time World Series champion with never with the Yankees?
Yeah. No, somebody was like, oh, no, Yankees just really bad at pitching development. I'm like, yeah, a little bit, but like also at the same time, Montgomery took two teams to be really good. Andrew Heaney took two teams, and he wasn't even a starter.
The Yankees told him not to throw one of his pitches.
Yeah. Neither did the Cardinals. And then Chapman.
I don't think wanted. I clearly.
I wouldn't even say. I also wouldn't even say that. Chapman. I mean, Chapman performed pretty well, but.
And then he, remember when he tried to pick people off of first base?
No, I'm saying this postseason.
Oh, this post. I thought you meant as a Yankee. I was like, Scotty.
No.
Scotty. I was saying something about it last week. And I said something about Chapman, and I was like, Aroldis Chapman. And Sawyer was like, oh, yeah, because we all know who that is. I was like, actually, everyone listening does. And then I had to explain the picture. You know the picture of Chapman where he's smiling in Houston. I was like, one thing that always happens is Chapman gives up home runs in Houston. And he was like, I don't know what that means. And I was like, you poor thing. We've got some Yankee stuff, unless you do have other
not World Series stuff.
So first off, Aaron Judge won the 2023 Clemente Award. At this point, it's just adding more and more cushioning, but
it's more hardware.
Yeah, more hardware to Aaron Judge and the thought of potential Hall of Fame duty.
I very much enjoyed the thought of people not understanding the Hank Aaron Award and seeing the comments. You're like, what the hell? You didn't even play the whole season. You're like,
yeah. The Clemente Award is not about baseball. He's also, him and Gleyber Torres are both Silver Slugger Award finalists, which is very exciting. And Scotty, I wanted your opinion on something I talked about last week, that I talked about by myself, so I didn't, sorry, I came in halfway through the episode. I don't know if you listened, fake fan. But last week it came out that Alex Rodriguez is mad that his number is not retired for Yankees. I want to give you some numbers here.
I saw that on
The
the news.
second, the team with the second most numbers retired is the Cardinals, and I believe they either had 14 or 16. Take a guess at how many the Yankees have retired. Are you looking it up?
No, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of our numbers. So, like, basically every number 1 through 10,
One through nine, donezo.
1 through 9 is done. So there's your 9. Of course, you have 42. You have some random 20s in there too. I'm gonna guess. So what you said, 16 is the
I
second
believe
most.
16, 14 or 16. Yeah, I don't remember which one.
But at 20.
Almost. We have 24 numbers retired. Scotty, one more number retired. We have a quarter of the usable numbers retired.
Hey,
And
don't forget about
listen,
double zero.
the thing is, I un like A-Rod has all of the ground to stand, all right, with Jeter being retired, Mo, Posada, like that whole group being retired. Yes. I think what would need to happen, the Yankees have two numbers that are retired for managers. Hey, let's unretire those, right? The Marlins, in case you wanted to know, Scotty, one number retired. Guess which one? 42.
Yeah.
That's it. Nobody else is
Okay, well, the
important.
Marlins also haven't been a team since.
Yeah, and I get it is hard because a lot of baseball history has gone through New York. So I'm not asking them, right, to unretire three or right. I'm not asking for any of those to be unretired. It's like Joe Torre is on there just as a manager. I all love to Joe Torre, but like
Sorry.
I didn't quite get that.
All right.
But I think that there's a different way to honor Joe Torre than to retire
Yeah.
his managerial number. And there's one other number that's old, that was a manager who was retired. There's other
Yeah.
ways to honor your good managers than retiring their number.
I feel like when you hear a number, you think of the play on the field.
Exactly.
You don't go, oh, that number, yeah, that manager.
I could not tell you what number Aaron Boone wears. 28?
Yeah, 20.
Maybe. Right? Like I
I don't think I've
don't
ever seen him not in a jacket.
that's the thing. He always has that short sleeve fucking jacket on. I don't think he even wears the uniform under it. I'll say it.
17.
Yeah, would have never guessed that. Right? So it just I was just wondering what you thought about A-Rod's comments, Yankee numbers retired, things like that.
I think.
Objectively, do not take our personal opinions about Alex
No.
Rodriguez into effect.
No, it's purely off of what he, and I'm looking purely at what he did in New York. He, was there for our last World Series.
He was a part of the whole dynasty, right?
He
The
was, he's been there since 04.
Yeah.
It's not like the OG dynasty, but one of them, yeah. But at the same time, you're also looking at 2014. He was suspended. So it's like that fine line of like I understand both parties because it is still that whole idea of maybe it'll happen once this whole steroid thing gets fixed out. And I think you kind of understand what I mean by the whole steroid thing, just the stigma around it of all that situation that happened in the past. Because again, it's the same idea of like if you have A-Rod get retired, his number retired, then it's just like that guy did steroids. You're like you guys want to go down in history for this guy who did steroids, and that's kind of the image around him. That's still the image around him, and that's what everybody sees. And he was a little bit more of a media problem, which is why same reason why a lot of people don't get into whether the Hall of Fame or things like that. It's just that media image that people wouldn't vote and wouldn't enjoy, and they see it as a negative thing. But I mean, he's a two-time MVP. He has
500 home run, 500 plus home run.
351 with the Yankees.
So the majority of his home runs hit his
300
Yankees.
out of his almost 700. 350 out of his almost 700. So yes, over half of his home runs were with the Yankees. It's just such a it's a really
It was
tough
also like
task.
it was brought up at a weird time. Like it was, I think it was during like a pregame show, and it was like the awkward group of A-Rod, Ortiz, Jeter, and like some other guy from Fox.
Yeah.
And they were like, "How'd you feel when Joey Gallo wore 13?" And it's like, "Hey, the Yankees aren't even fucking here, bro. Why are we talking about him?"
Yeah.
And listen, we drag Joey Gallo a lot. Let's stop. Let's chill on the dragging Joey Gallo as a Yankee train, right? It's over. It's done.
Yeah. So every year now.
It was just a really weird thing to talk about. And I just, the Yankees do not have the capacity to retire more numbers, right? The only other number I can see them maybe retiring from this class, probably 99, and I'd assume Cole. Those are the only
Possibly. I think Cole,
possibly.
if he brings a World Series,
The one
and
year Cole pitched this year, he should have brought a World Series.
yeah, but that's not, I think whatever it's been the last 4 years of him doing this won't be enough. I want to know.
He needs to maintain where he's been for, through the rest of his contract, and hopefully they build a team around him that can actually, he can, you know, help in the playoffs in the World Series. But like, I'm like borderline on if Cole would get retired. I'm pretty 100% sure Judge will, simply because they made the whole judges change. Like they changed Yankee Stadium for Aaron Judge,
Yeah.
and he's the
But
captain.
like people, so I looked it up. People who are retired. Wait, this is not actually all right. This is a really weird list. It's not close to right. The basic Google answer was incorrect. I can't find them. So yeah, random numbers that we have picked out. 32, 37, 51, 49. I was trying to find pitchers that we have retired because like
Heading.
they're normally really, really, really good.
Headed, Mariano. Chamberlain?
Chavez, not no.
I didn't think so. Anyone else?
I can't again. It doesn't tell me position, so I don't
That's
know. Some
fine.
of these names I don't know, and I don't know their position they played.
Hey.
As you can say, it makes me a poor fan, but I'm sorry, I'm not a
I say
fan of
this all the
the
time when I talk
1880s.
to people. I'm not good at past baseball.
I'm not good at the 1880s Yankees. I'm
Yeah,
sorry, I don't know
just like
all of
not
them.
really in my wheelhouse.
Oh, here we go. Oh, Billy Martin, another one, second base manager slash manager. That's
Yeah.
our number one. Here we go. Now I got it. Joe Torre at number the number six is manager, only as a manager. Which is just really just interesting. But I guess at the same time, yeah, like I agree with you of like 100% do I think Joe Torre should be retired in Monument Park? Yes.
We don't need to take his number off. You could like
Yeah, I think that there is,
have him
you
in
know, his
Monument Park
plaque.
and then put like his name on the dugout, or like,
Yeah. Because he's six World Series appearances, four championships.
yeah,
Gotta give props to that. That's
obviously.
gotta somehow get attention. But you in no way
You don't
need
need to
to,
give that
because,
attention by having no one wear the number six.
yeah, Joe Torre is not known as number six. Here we go. Now I'm getting it. I have their
Position.
Whitey Ford, pitcher,
Yeah, we
retired.
did.
Casey Stengel is the only other manager. One of the best managers in the game over the course of his 54-year career, he led the Yankees to 10 pennants and 7 championships in 12 years. But it's a similar thing. Nobody knows number 37 is Casey Stengel.
Name something after him.
Yeah. There's other ways to represent what he's done and who he is than his number being retired. Andy Pettit, Ron Guidry. That is the only three pitchers retired by the Yankees.
Mariano,
I still count as borderline retired by the Yankees because
he was forced to retire that number. Yeah. The only thing that I would say Gerrit Cole would get retired is because he beat Ron Guidry's strikeout records.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think he has a good chance. I think he just a little bit more years.
Would lock it up.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 100%.
But definitely just something. Just I just wanted your opinion. But listen, Scotty, we've got 147 days until opening day. And we could talk about all different free agents, but let's just talk about Yankee free agents, all right?
Oh, yes.
We'll start off with Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. You want to keep, you want to sign, you want to give into free agency.
I think it's a tough spot for him because I think 100% I think we should keep him. But that's just because of what he showed last year.
He's a fantastic, like, he is the best utility player that we've had in a while.
He went from fan hated to one of the fan favorites in a year.
Because, like, when you actually upgrade from your utility player being Tyler Wade or that other fucking guy I hated, Marwin.
Yeah.
Right, like, IKF is a legitimate utility player.
Yeah.
And only if we use him as a third baseman or just straight utility.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this a while ago of, like, he is technically one of the top free agent shortstops this year. He's like a top four free agent shortstop this year.
That makes me laugh.
And so it is a very weak shortstop class. Yeah. He is only 28. And I think at the same time, he won't be very expensive.
I think that he's a piece that the Yankees very much can and should keep. And
yeah, because it's make exactly
other
that.
Major, like, you can keep IKF and still, you know, hopefully make a run at Yamamoto.
Yeah. And it's a full idea that doesn't hurt to have him because he is a true utility player. We saw glimpses of it with Marwin. Outfield. Like, Marwin's that idea of, like, yeah, he can play infield, he can play outfield, but, like,
he sucks at it
couldn't,
all.
Couldn't really hit either.
He's
couldn't
terrible
really
at everything.
IKF can play left field, he can play center field, play short, play third,
play second, probably.
And he can hit.
Yeah.
So he always has that ability to be true utility for a team that gets injured.
And, like, I'm also mostly impressed with IKF's mental game to go from, right, 2022. Everybody hated IKF. And he came in saying, like, he's so excited to be a Yankee. He can do whatever. That was great. And he was able to push through everyone hating him in 2022 and really, really perform this past year. So I agree. I think that IKF is definitely worth a keep. Right-handed pitcher Zach McAllister. I'm going to be honest. I don't know who this man is.
Yep, me either.
Sick. Let's get rid of him. Right-handed pitcher Kenyon Middleton, our one move at the trade deadline.
Keep him going.
I also agree. Right-handed pitcher Frankie Montas. Can I say mine and then you go?
Go ahead.
I want him gone. I don't think the Yankees will let him go.
Yeah. I think at the same time of maybe they will, because we spoke about it before. We have so many people who have starting pitching potential who has shown it a little bit more, would be cheaper if we want to keep them. Because Frankie Montas will be cheap this year. He's coming off of injury. He has nothing to prove. Or he has everything to prove, I guess, technically. But nobody's going to go and be willing to take that bet on him. He went and I'm trying to see his previous contracts have been all 1 year. Or I guess technically he was yeah, no, it was 1 year. He had spent 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 6 years with Oakland. Ended up having a 1 year, $5 million with Oakland his last year, but he's not going to get up more than that because he hasn't shown it.
Yeah, I really hope that we do not. I'm just afraid that this will be something that, like, the Yankees are, like, embarrassed to say it didn't work out, you know?
Yeah, we dropped $7.5 million on him.
That's enough money. No more, please.
We do not, especially with somebody who is back end of our rotation, if he's going to be a starter, which he would be. And I think we have too many other opportunities and too many other people who could take that spot.
100% agree.
And even in I'm going to look it up now, even in the free agent market, there's probably a ton better than him.
Agree, agree, agree. What about left-handed pitcher Wandy Peralta?
Here's another thing of I'd have to look at who's out there.
True.
I think
I
Wandy.
don't. I
Sorry.
want you to go just based off of your gut feeling here. I don't care about comparisons. We can do a little bit more comparison next week, right? Because we've got all the whole off season time to actually think about it and like put together some cases for him.
Yeah.
But
I just mean in more of the sense of I really liked him. He was really good as a left-handed reliever. And that's the only reason I'm saying of like I have to see who else is out
if
there.
there are any other lefty options.
Yeah, but
One of
I
our own
really liked
lefties
what
on
he
the team.
had. Most of the ones that I'm seeing are starting pitchers. So
Yeah, I really think that Wandy.
we can go and add our chances to making winning the World Series by going and adding Will Smith.
This is true. Just for anyone, just get him. But yeah, I agree. I think Wandy is a really great for us left-handed reliever. I believe we only have, I think Canley is our only other left-handed reliever right now. I'm not positive, but that sounds right.
Yeah.
So I think that there's absolutely nothing bad about keeping a left-handed pitcher who has pitched well under pressure, right? Remember 2022, he was our entire reason we really beat the Guardians in the playoffs. Next up is Luke Weaver. I also don't really remember him. He's a right-handed pitcher.
I think I remember him getting in once in a while, but like it's not that big of a deal. Again, similar way of either let him go or you can sign them to a
Cheap.
small
Yeah.
deal.
And our last one, right-handed pitcher, Luis Severino.
Yeah.
Is the ship sailing on Severino, Scotty?
I think so. I think you got it. I think you got it. It's been too many years of wasted money on him that I don't care. This is a guy who can go and leave the Yankees and then be top 10 in the Cy Young, and I think I'd be okay with it just because.
If he wants to go do a Sonny Gray, knock yourself out.
But it just isn't happening here. And it's not
No.
somebody that we can just be spending this money on for year in and year out, him being hurt. It's
Yeah,
not
I
even been him bad, it's been
don't.
hurt and then
And
bad.
then bad, and then hurt again, and then bad again.
Yeah.
I don't have, right, like, I have ill feelings towards Frankie Montas. I don't have any ill will against Severino. Like, I really feel like he just kept getting dealt like bad hand after bad hand after bad hand. And it's like eventually gets so hard to bounce back from that. So I want him to succeed, right? Because when you think back to peak Severino, he was unstoppable, untouchable. I wish him all the best to get back to that. I just don't want to be the team that is watching him struggle to get back to that point.
Yeah.
So, happy wishes to Severino, but do it somewhere else. Have you got anything else for this week, Scotty?
I don't think so. I mean, we could talk about the Silver Sluggers, but we don't need to.
We can wait for we've got all next week and 147 days next.
Yep.
So make sure you follow us on Instagram at pinstripe.podcast and to subscribe to this show wherever you're listening to it. For Scotty, I am Lexi, and this has been the Pinstripe Podcast. Bye.